time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.
Hi, and welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant. And in today's episode, I'll be talking about AJ Hinch and the Astros cheating scandal, the Chiefs vs. Texans, Seahawks vs. Packers, and Kevin Durant and Kendrick Perkins' Twitter beef that happened a couple days ago. So, first thing I wanted to talk about was the Texans vs. Chiefs. The Chiefs blew out the Texans 51-31, and on the opening drive, the Kansas City blew a coverage on Kenny Stills on the opening possession, allowing him to get an easy 54-yard touchdown. And on offense, they wasted timeouts, dropped a series of easy passes, and managed just 46 yards. Their special teams were even worse, where the Chiefs had a blocked punt for a score and a fumble, and fumbled a return that set up another touchdown. The Texans, coming off their win versus the Bills 22-3 run to beat Buffalo last week, they had the game at the beginning, and it was multiple people were surprised that the Chiefs were this far behind in a 24-0 lead that started, and they thought that they would. Everyone thought that they would easily blow out, and the downfall for them happened when the Texans opted for the field goal instead of going for it on 4th-and-1 at the 13-yard line. They had the ball at 4th-and-1 on the 13-yard line, and they decided to go for the field goal. They could have gone up 28-0, but instead they opted to go up 24. They could have ended them right there with a touchdown there just to end it for them, but they decided to go for it on 4th-and-1. And then right after that, the Chiefs scored 3 touchdowns in 3 minutes and 24 seconds to come back. And they outscored them 28-0 in the second quarter. In doing this, the Chiefs became the first team in NFL history to win a playoff game by at least 20 points after trailing by at least 20. They matched the 4th biggest comeback in playoff history while winning a postseason game in back-to-back seasons for the first time. Travis Kelce and Damian Williams scored 3 touchdowns apiece, which they joined Jerry Rice and Ricky Waters in Super Bowl 29 as the only teammates to score that many times in a postseason game. Patrick Mahomes threw for 5 touchdowns after their comeback, and it was over after that. Deshaun Watson, meanwhile, threw for 388 yards and 2 touchdowns while running for one other, but not even his heroics could bail out the Texans after their terrible second quarter and even worse third. The result is the new Houston franchise is 0-4 in the divisional round and has never won a road playoff game. They were supposed to be one of the best teams going into the playoffs, and going into that game, after what happened in the first few minutes of that game, they were supposed to be able to come out with an easy win against one of the best teams in the AFC, the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes struggled at first, but was able to come back later in the game because he threw for 321 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's a lot, even for Patrick Mahomes. Moving on to the other game, it was the Packers and the Seahawks. The Packers had a very good start to the game, going up early. Rodgers played very well throughout the game, throwing for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns. Wilson threw for 273 yards and 1 touchdown. Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers had a great connection all game, and Adams had 8 receptions, 160 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Aaron Jones also rushed for 63 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half alone. Russell Wilson carried the Seahawks on yet another comeback, this time from a 21-3 halftime deficit, but the Packers forced a punt shortly before the two-minute warning on the second sack of the game by Preston Smith. That was Green Bay's 5th of the game. Russell Wilson said, quote, 5 minutes left, we're getting the ball back. This thing's going to be over. We're going to win it. I think everybody in the stadium, and I think everyone watching it felt like that too. What I was surprised about was when they decided to punt the ball when they it was fourth down and they decided to punt it. When your defense has been struggling all game, I feel like you shouldn't punt the ball against Aaron Rodgers in the final 2 minutes. Their defense was just not that good throughout the whole game. It just wasn't. Moving over to MLB news, the league investigation has confirmed that the Astros had cheated by using camera-based sign-stealing system during the regular season and playoffs of their World Series winning 2017 season and during part of the 2018 regular season. Their GM, Lunhow and Hinch were suspended for the 2020 season, but owner Jim Crane said that he wanted the team to go beyond that ruling. He said, quote, "Neither of them started this, but neither of them did anything about it. We need to move forward with a clean slate." Crane also said that he did not think the Astros World Series title in 2017 was, quote, "tainted." As a part of the league's penalty, the Astros will also leave first and second round draft picks in 2021, and the organization has fined a record $5 million. MLB said in a statement that if Lunhow or Hinch engage in any future material violations, they will be placed on the league's permanently ineligible list. Crane gave no timetable for naming replacements for Lunhow and Hinch. I'm surprised that the Red Sox coach Alex Cora, who did the same thing when he was the coach of the Astros, and he also cheated when he was with the Red Sox with the Apple Watch. I'm surprised that he was not disciplined, but it is said that he is expected to receive a similarly harsh penalty upon the completion of the investigation. It's just not good for the sport for them to be cheating, and if they do cheat, I think that they should have been able to lose their The World Series should have been handed over to the Dodgers, or the Dodgers should have replayed it with the other AL winning team. They would never do this, but I just think that they should, because the Dodgers got screwed twice for losing to teams that losing three times to teams that have cheated. So if the Dodgers are playing fair in all of those, and the other teams that they're playing aren't, then what's that to send? A message to send is that you have to be cheating to be able to win, and if you aren't cheating and other teams are beating you because they are, then how's that fair for any team in the league, and how is that supposed to show who the best in the league is and who the best team is if every single team is, or a couple teams are cheating and are able to get away with it and win the World Series? Also, if you look at the Astros home and away splits throughout the season, it's evident that they have had some sort of cheating at home games. Even White Sox pitcher, I forget what his name was, but he had to call a pitcher's meeting because he knew that they were cheating, and multiple teams have filed the complaint about it to the MLB, and none of them were really solved during the season. It was just up till the end of the season to be able to figure out who or what will be the consequences of it. I just think that anybody who's involved with it, even Alex Cora, should be suspended or fined for it. But it's just the MLB said, well, the scheme to steal signs and relay them to batters by banging on a garbage can was, quote, player-driven, Rob Manfred wrote in a 9-page summary of the investigation, that no players were disciplined, including New York Mets manager Carlos Beltran, who played for the 2017 Astros and was implicated by Manfred as one of the players involved in decoding signs. Manfred wrote that disciplining individuals, players, was, quote, impractical given the large number of players involved and the fact that many of those players now play for other clubs. I just think that they should do something to the players who were involved because it's. I think the players who were banging the trash can to relay the signs, I think that they should get suspended, or maybe even just maybe fined or suspended or for a long time, just to show to other teams that it's not allowed and that other teams can't use it, just because two World Series championships have been won via teams cheating, and the Red Sox cheated in their 2018 World Series. So the past three World Series have all been won by teams that have cheated. I just think that something should happen to the players. GM Lundhau accepted responsibility for the Stein stealing happening on his watch, but maintained that he's, quote, not a cheater. He said, "I did not know rules were being broken. The Stein stealing initiative was not planned or directed by baseball management. The trash can banging was driven and executed by players, and the video decoding of signs originated and was executed by lower-level employees working with the bench coach." He continued to say, "I'm deeply upset that I was not informed of any misconduct because I would have stopped it." You can't say that because all throughout the postseason they have said that the Astros have been doing it and that it's cheating and that there is a disciplinary action that could happen to it. So he can't say that he didn't know that any rules were being broken when if you look at MLB's website and you turn the radio or the TV on in Houston, it's going to be talking about them being cheating. So he can't say that and expect to get just away with being able to just apologize. It's just dumb. Or it's just not good for the sport for players to be able to do that and not get penalized during the season. Hinch also apologized and accepted responsibility for any misconduct because, he said, I am, quote, deeply, He also apologized and accepted responsibility in another statement issued Monday. He said, "While the evidence consistently showed I didn't endorse or participate in the sign-stealing practices, I failed to stop them, I'm deeply sorry." The league discipline is one of the harshest ever delivered by a commissioner, with Lundhau and Hinch being banned until the day after the final game of the 2020 World Series, despite neither having involvement with the scheme, and Hinch twice protesting by trying to damage the monitor used in the scheme. Manfred had to hold the two responsible because they're the people that are supposed to say that it's not okay to do, and they should have told the players that it's... Although they say that they did, I'm not so certain that they really did, because if a coach said that, I think players would stop, and if the GM said that, I think that it would stop. Manfred held the two responsible, citing, quote, "a failure by the leaders of the baseball operations department and the field manager to adequately manage their employees under their supervision to establish a culture in which adherence to the rules is ingrained in the fabric of the organization and need to stop bad behavior as soon as it occurred." The commissioner also pointed to a September 15th, 2017 memo regarding the Red Sox use of an Apple Watch that promised severe discipline for teams that run that are cheating and going against the MLB's rules against using technology during games. The scheme itself, Manfred wrote, began in 2017 and evolved throughout the course of the season. After initially using video relay personnel to decode the opposing catcher's signs via the center field camera and relaying the information to the bench via phone message or text message, Cora arranged for a video room technician to install a monitor displaying the center field camera feed immediately outside of the Astros dugout. Players watched the camera live and, upon decoding the sign, hit the trash can with a bat and to signal to the hitter which pitch was coming. Initially, they had tried clapping, whistling, or yelling, Manfred wrote, but the players determined the trash can was the best use of relaying the sign. While the banging scheme was discontinued before the 2018 season, Manfred wrote, quote, the Astros replay review room staff continued, at least for a part of the 2018 season, to decode signs using the center field live center field camera feed and to transmit the signs to the dugout through an in-person communication. That practice ended during the 2018 season when players believed it was no longer effective. I just think that if you can cheat, like you can steal the signs if they're tipping it or if you have a runner on second base who is able to see the pitcher's the catcher's signs and is able to tell the batter, then that I think that is acceptable because it's not really cheating. It's just if they're tipping a pitch, then you are able to take advantage of it. But if you're using something from technology to do this, then that has to be illegal and has to be taken away. Moving over to Kevin Durant and Kendrick Perkins had Twitter beef on a couple days ago when Russell Westbrook came back to Oklahoma City, and multiple people were saying that he was the best player to put on a Thunder jersey. Or Perkins said that, and a number of people replying were trying to show support for Durant. Kendrick Perkins said in a tweet, quote, in about 30 minutes, I'm going to give my opinion on SportsCenter on why I believe that Russell Westbrook is the best player to ever put on Oklahoma City Thunder jersey. He is Mr. Thunder. Kevin Durant said, yeah, and our starting center at Kendrick Perkins averaged a whopping 2-3 during that series. You played hard, champ, LOL. Perkins then said, facts on the averages and facts on the champ part two. They continued, Kendrick Perkins said, boy, stop, you did the weakest move in NBA history. Up on a team 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals and then go join them the following season. Heart of a champion right there. Kevin Durant said, weak is starting at center, playing real minutes with no production. Should have worked on your skills as much as I did. Perkins then responded, that's fine. You worked that hard and still had to go join a 78-9 team. Truth be told, you don't even feel like a real champ. You have a hard time sleeping at night, huh? Knowing that you took the coward way out. And then someone else said, nothing but respect for your game, but the reality is simple. The Mecca has your name all over it, and you passed up the shot. I'm from BK. It's in my blood. But NYC is all about the Knicks, and always will be. And then Durant said, the reality is that you wanted me to do what you wanted me to do. I didn't, and now you feel some weird way about it. Get over yourself, bro. I know you got a little platform, but come out of the clouds. It's not real. We talk in hoops, not life. There's a difference. He said that after it. I just think that Kevin Durant is one of the best Thunder players because I just think that Russell Westbrook kind of cared about stats more, I felt like, or looked that way when he was in OKC, but Kevin Durant was just trying to play to get the wins and trying to be able to be the best player that he can be and make OKC the best organization that it could be. And he was, in the 2012 finals, he was the main player who was able to bring them there and be able to get them to where they were and be able to go out against one of the best teams ever in the Miami Heat with LeBron. I just think that KD is the best player to put on a Thunder uniform. Lastly, Kyrie Irving is back for the Brooklyn Nets, and his impact was felt. He had 21 points on 10 of 11 shooting to go with 4 rebounds and 3 assists, leading the Nets to a 108-86 victory over the Atlanta Hawks. He shot a career-best 90.9% from the field. Although Irving played only 20 minutes, Brooklyn had a plus 22 point differential while he was on the court. Kyrie after the game said, "I love this game, man. I missed it so much." Irving was sidelined for 26 games due to a right shoulder injury. He recently returned to practice, and Nets coach Kenny Atkinson said pregame that the point guard would start. Spencer Dinwiddie said, "He is a phenomenal offensive player. We didn't exactly play the Legion of Boom." The Hawks didn't present much of an obstacle, but Irving was prepared regardless. 3 hours before tip-off, he was on the floor shooting. He took jump shots and three-pointers. Ran around the court exercising from his famous handles and practiced free throws. Once the game was tipped, he only missed one shot, and that shot was his first. Irving said last week that surgery could be a consideration if there was no improvement, but he took part in full workouts during the week, gaining the confidence of Atkinson and his staff. His effort helped the Nets to a second straight win following a season-high 7-game losing streak, and he said, quote, "I mean, I just work on my game diligently, and you know, you have nights like this." Atlanta played without Trae Young, who had a left hamstring injury. Hawks coach Lloyd Pierce said his second-year star received treatment Saturday, but he felt soreness. Brandon Goodwin started in Young's place. He had 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. The Nets without Kyrie are 13-13. Dinwiddie moved into the six-man slot, started point guard in Kyrie's absence, and he was good so far this season, but the Nets have never started the two together. Jared Allen, Taurean Prince, and Joe Harris also started. Typically, the Nets exercise extreme caution when it comes to bringing back injured players. Caris LeVert, who missed nearly 7 weeks due to a thumb injury, was a starter before his surgery in mid-November. Sunday marked his fourth game back, and he has yet to start. LeVert had 13 points against the Hawks. Atkinson said pregame, quote, "We treat every player individually. I can just say, yes, we are conservative, but we are about player first and foremost." Thank you for listening to E2One Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant. You can subscribe to us on YouTube at E2One Go Sports and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E2One Go Sports. Thank you.
You've been listening to the E2One Go Sports podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.